Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello and thank you for downloading Swiss Info's podcast for January the 25th. I'm Thomas Stevens. Join us as we rub shoulders with movers and shakers inside and outside the World Economic Forum's annual get-together in Davos. And we also discover the attraction of ballooning.
Seeing the Alps covered in snow from above in a day like this is just awesome.
But first we enter Davos. The hot air from the event could power several balloons if the forum's critics are to be believed.
The meeting on the Money Mountain is useless.
More from Susan George, a political scientist and author on poverty, later. Many business leaders and officials in attendance say improving the lot of the world's poor is central to the World Economic Forum. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, managing director of the World Bank, told Swiss Info that African nations have learned from the crises of the past and have improved the management of their economies, but could still be adversely affected by the slowdown of the US economy and a possible recession.
The good growth we are seeing there is still fragile. And so if there is a sharp recession in the US, which feeds into Europe, because Europe is a very important market for African products, that could have an impact on the demand for the African exports.
Also in Davos was Rajendra Pachauri, president of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and co-winner with Al Gore of the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007. The issue of water rights and not the climate was on his mind.
We will have to price water. Water is a scarce resource and, you know, we cannot treat it as something that doesn't carry any value, and that value has to appear in the marketplace. So, you know, pricing of water is something that we have to look at. But on the other hand, we must also make sure that the poor don't suffer as a result. Just as we have subsidies on other goods and services, maybe for the poor, we'll have to have some concessions.
And now to our man on the fringes of the forum.
Hello from Davos. It's a place that for 5 days welcomes the rich and the famous. I'm also here. The sun's shining, it's gorgeous. But let's be honest, the world's elite are in the Congress Center or thereabouts. Elsewhere in Davos, honestly, it's business as usual. Forget for a moment those 2,500 government and business leaders who've come here. In a few days' time, it'll be history. And the result of their discussions, well, who knows? What you see here are people who go up those magical mountains to the ski slopes, and those who are a little bit less daring onto the cross-country ski trails. People enjoying themselves. Davos is a fun place to be, with or without the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. It's clear the local Davos business people, from the hoteliers down to the bakers, they love the increased turnover. But 5 days in 1 year aren't enough. The people up here know that very well. At present in Davos, you see Audi limousine cars galore. You see Mercedes shuttle buses agogo. Then the helicopters. And they talk about climate change and what they intend to do to improve that. For the man and woman in the street, it's another world. And if you don't have a badge to get into the Congress Center, it's a world that can seem very far from reality. From the Magic Mountain and Davos, this is Robert Brooks.
One of the forum's critics who Robert Brooks spoke to is Susan George, who we heard from earlier. She strongly disagrees with the idea of self-regulation that she says is propagated by business leaders in Davos.
The meeting on the Money Mountain is useless in the sense that the people together are there just to legitimize their own system together. So I'm saying politically we've got to get them under control. I would say to your listeners, join the Alter Globalization movement, because that is the only way to force governments to regulate these people and to make sure that they do not create further crises, which always hit the poorest and the most vulnerable in the world, but also in our own countries.
In other news this week, the Swiss Film Prize 2008 was awarded to Der Freund, the friend. Misha Levinsky's film tells of a young man's difficulties living with a fabricated past. The jury said it was impressed by the film's capacity to both move people and bring them pure pleasure. They preferred it to Max & Co., a cartoon which at 30 million francs is the most expensive Swiss film ever made. Max & Co. is in fact a European co-production. Alongside British, Belgian and French money, Swiss producers chipped in 12 million Swiss francs, double the previous record for a Swiss film. Whether this was money well spent remains to be seen. And now a look on the light side of Swiss life. Swiss Transport Minister Moritz Leuenberger outed himself on January the 24th as the mystery cabinet member who had parked his car outside a Zurich museum last summer but forgot to put any money in the meter. A good Samaritan police officer who saw this promptly dipped into his own pocket to prevent Leuenberger facing a fine, but only told the story to his boss, the director of Zurich police, a few days ago, keeping the cabinet minister anonymous. Top Cop then mentioned the story on her blog and triggered an outbreak of speculation over the identity of the Phantom Parker. Also having an embarrassing moment this week was Paolo Meneguzzi, Switzerland's hope for this year's Eurovision Song Contest, being held in Belgrade at the end of May. The Swiss decided to play it safe this year with the Euro ballad, Era Stupendo, It Was Magnificent, after DJ Bobo had to eat some serious pie last year after not even making the finals with a badly misjudged piece of dance music. However, it was revealed on Tuesday that Meneguzzi was being accused by a 15-year-old Swedish girl of ripping off her 2006 song, It Can Only Get Better. Meneguzzi denies plagiarism, but to Swiss Info's highly tuned Euro ears, the two songs do sound very similar. Following several unfortunate altercations between cows and walkers over the summer, an agricultural organisation in Bern says it will put up signs telling people how to behave around the beasts, which can weigh up to a ton. Cows don't like to be stared at, according to the organisation, and dogs should be kept on leads. Mother cows are probably the most dangerous, and as a rule take exception to people trying to stroke their calves. Last year, cows charged several walkers, seriously injuring some of them. Now it's time for Out and About, where roving Swiss Info journalists report from the far corners of Switzerland. Simon Bradley sends a postcard from the alpine resort of Château d'Ay.
A red and yellow turtle jostles with a spaceman alongside a 35-metre-high birthday cake. In the distance, colourful globes skirt over the snow-capped hills. I've come to Château d'Ay, a picturesque alpine village in western Switzerland, for the 30th anniversary of the world-famous Colourful International Balloon Festival that attracts over 140 pilots from around the world.
What makes the festival so special?
Well, it's the stunning scenery and the vast number of balloons here, usually about 60, and the fact that you can go down the valley and then climb and come back and you go in all directions because the winds are very variable. That, in my view, makes it a challenge, but fun.
The festival highlights include group launches, specially shaped balloons, night flying and various races. Passenger rides are also available to the public. Around 50 to 60,000 people are expected to attend, including a record 150 journalists who've flown in, by normal aircraft, from around the world. The pilots I talk to tell me one of the attractions of ballooning is the unpredictability. Once you've taken off, you have no idea where you're going to land. The small alpine resort of Château d'Ay has also been at the mercy of the winds of climate change in recent years. The relatively low-lying village has seen its skier base disappear, as the level above which snow is certain to fall has risen by a few hundred metres. The balloon festival has done its bit to ensure badly needed revenues for a place where tourism is still a pillar of the economy. And enthusiastic pilots like Muir Moffat, who is taking part in his 20th event here, will guarantee that Château d'Ay continues to fly high, at least in January, for many more years to come.
It's a fantastic place for flying because the configuration of the valleys and the weather we get, especially in winter, makes for very, very interesting flying and over just absolutely fabulous countryside. I mean, seeing the Alps covered in snow from above in a day like this is just awesome.
Balloon pilot Muir Moffat, ending that report by Simon Bradley. Thanks for listening. Learn more about these stories at swissinfo.ch. Turn on, tune in, and download again next week for more Swiss news and views. I'm Thomas Stevens.